Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. My latest episode is called Dominion Theology, Kingdom Now, and the Ashtar Command. Now, this article is not science fiction. If you've never heard of the Ashtar Command, TAC, you may think that's maybe science fiction because it sounds like something out of a science fiction novel. It's not, unfortunately. It is actual New Age theology that in many ways is very similar in parts to what we know as Dominion Theology and Kingdom Now. Let me start by saying that there are numerous religions that are connected to aliens, creatures believed to be from other planets and even other galaxies throughout the universe. Scientology is one of those. And as members of Scientology rise through the ranks, they gain more information and knowledge about these aliens and their plans to, quote-unquote, help the people of planet Earth. Now, of course, Scientology is not the only religion that believes aliens play a part in the salvation of Earth and its people. In general, the entirety of the New Age movement itself is filled with all sorts of beliefs related to aliens. Most of the time, these are referred to, by the way, as aliens, angels, ascended masters, or guides. Quite often, they're ascended masters. But when you take the time to really study specific New Age writers, it is amazing how many of them eventually refer to alien-type beings as having evolved to a point where they are concerned about what we, the people, are doing to planet Earth. Their main concern, it seems, has to do with the constant threat of war and actual wars and skirmishes that break out onto this planet all the time. Now, accordingly, it's because it will somehow affect them. So they have broken into our orbit, our plane, our digital sphere, if you will, and our timeline with efforts to help us de-escalate. Now, judging from the many wars in just my lifetime, I'm 63, well, I'd say they failed miserably at that. Now, one thing President Trump did correctly was not getting the USA into any new wars. In fact, he pulled a lot of our military out. Every other president before him had the USA involved in at least one war. There were many. Many presidents seem to collect wars like notches on their belts. First day in office, President Biden has said he will probably send more troops back to the Mideast. So he's already ramping up war. Now, in this article, I'm not going to go into real depth regarding Dominion Theology. And I say article because this mirrors what I'm telling you today, mirrors an article on my website, studygrowknowblog.com. And if you go there, you'll see that this article was just published and it's called Dominion Theology, Kingdom Now, and the Ashtar Command. And in this article, I also have links to other things and also some pictures, which obviously it's too difficult to describe or show while in an audio message, so I'd encourage you to go there. But in this particular audio, based on the article, I'm not going to go into real depth regarding Dominion Theology. I will probably have another article or two on this subject and also on Ashtar Command because I think it's that important. But I'm going to provide a list of main points now with references, and I would encourage people, listeners, readers, to continue their own research. What will be learned is that many Christians believe in some form of what we call Dominion Theology, and they may not even call it that. They may refer to it as just in general terms or call it something else. But in essence, they believe that it is the Christian's job to work to create a better world on this planet. Here's a quote from gotquestions.org. Dominion theology states that biblical Christianity will rule all areas of society, personal, and corporate. Christian Reconstructionism reasons that society will be reconstructed by the law of God as preached in the gospel and the Great Commission. And also, I won't get into that right now, but the Noahic Code or the laws of Noahide also tie in with this, but that's a separate subject from today's. Now, Dominion theology is also known as theonomy. And here's another quote. Adherents believe that we currently exist under the covenant of grace, that the church and Israel are the same, and we are now in the millennial kingdom of God. Man, under the covenant of grace, is responsible to rule the world, to hold dominion over it in obedience to the laws of God. Unquote. So, for those who side with dominion theology, they believe it is the Christian's job to work hard to bring this planet under the control of the laws of God. Now, if we add kingdom now theology into the mix, the problems, in my opinion, become even more clear. Here's a quote about kingdom now theology. Kingdom now theology is a theological belief within the charismatic movement of Protestant Christianity, mainly in the United States. Kingdom Now proponents believe that God lost control over the world to Satan when Adam and Eve sinned. Since then, the theology goes, God has been trying to reestablish control over the world by seeking a special group of believers known variously as covenant people, overcomers, or Joel's army, and maybe you've heard those words before, those phrases or titles used, and that through these people, social institutions, including government and laws, would be brought under God's authority. The belief is that since believers are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Jesus, we have all authority in heaven and on the earth. We have the power to believe for and speak into existence things that are not, and thus we can bring about the kingdom age, unquote. You ever heard of those preachers on TV when they're praying, they'll say something like, I speak into this situation that such and such, and this should happen. I speak truth. I speak light. This is what they're doing. They believe that they have the power to do that. Now, I'm sure you can see, I'm hoping you can see the problem here immediately. It places severe limits on God, and it even questions his sovereignty. Now, apparently, he lost control and has been unsuccessful in regaining it, so he, quote-unquote, needs us. He can't do it alone. It's only by working through specific people on earth, and we give him permission to do that, can God ever hope to regain control of this planet? This is not only wrong in I don't know how many ways, but ultimately it is blasphemous. It limits God's sovereignty, his omniscience, and everything else that is God. Now, the second coming or return of Jesus physically to this earth will occur in at least two stages, according to Kingdom Now people. First, he will return through believers as he empowers us to change the world, which is now, right? We are empowered by him. We gain power from on high. He gives us wisdom and discernment, and we change the world for him. That's the belief. The focus is not converting the lost. Yes, it is. That's a byproduct. We convert the lost so that the world will change. The world is not going to change, no matter how many people are converted to salvation. God has made that clear in his scriptures. There is a gradual point in time that will arrive in which he will come. And as it gets closer to that point, things will ramp up rather quickly and violently. There will be no peace on this earth. There will be attempts at it. There will be fraudulent peace. And ultimately, it will all break down as Satan gathers the troops of this world, according to Scripture, in an attempt to keep God from returning. But as far as the Kingdom Now people are saying, when we reach a turning point for him after doing so much to change the world now, Jesus will then return physically where we will give him this world as a present. You know, this is patently absurd, and this is what happens when you stray from Scripture. And I believe, honestly, this is why so many set critical thinking aside, and they unfortunately went blindly after Donald Trump because of all the fake pastors, prophets, and apostles who constantly talked up Trump with their prophecies, quote unquote, of what God was accomplishing through him and would accomplish through him. None of it happened. Yes, Trump did some good things for America. If push comes to shove, I couldn't tell you if he's a Christian or not. Could you? We can believe it, but we don't know for sure. And that's not why we vote for politicians anyway. We vote for them based on what they say they're going to try to accomplish. And Trump accomplished some good things. Apparently, though, the left didn't appreciate that. And so now Biden is in office, undoing as quickly as he can everything good that Trump did. So the USA has fallen to communism, literally and officially, because people refuse to open their eyes and reason things out with the Bible open next to them. Okay, well, what does all this have to do with the Ashtar Command, or TAC? Well, suffice it to say that all of the information outlined and revealed in the TAC is said to have been channeled, given from higher beings to a person, an earth person, who went by the name Tuella. That name was given to her by these enlightened or ascended masters. Her real name was Thelma Terrell. She died in 1993, and she knows the truth right now. She knows that she was taken for a ride. It was a spiritual psyop that caught her and directed her. And it was because of her willingness to be used by demons in the spiritual realm that we now have the document, the Ashtar Command. And again, if you go to my article, there's a link to that document, or you can just do a search with your favorite search engine, Ashtar Command, A-S-H-T-A-R, Command, and it'll pull up. Now, the document itself is entitled Project World Evacuation. It includes Part 1, the Seven Secret Councils, Chapter 1, the New Strategy, Chapter 2, the Summons to the Secret Councils, Chapter 3, the Hosts of Heaven, Sponsor a Feast of New Experiences, and Chapter 4, Returning to the Battle, and then there's Part 2, the Three Evacuations. Chapter 1, Mission of Mercy. 2, the Gathering Storm. You ever heard that phrase before? 3, the Cleansing Action. 4, the Great Exodus 1, 2, and 3. Now, the foreword itself is very interesting in this entire document because it introduces the main character, a being who calls himself, are you ready, Jesus-Sananda, the Christ. Wow, how did he decide on that name? Interesting, isn't it? Well, here's an excerpt from the monologues of this quote-unquote Christ. Quote, there must be peace on earth. There must be an end to wars and hatred between brothers. The millions that come from other worlds, from far-off galaxies, to assist in bringing peace upon earth, have my staunch support and backing for all of their endeavors. They have come in my name, and they serve under my banner. As Lord of this planet, they come not as intruders nor usurpers of my authority, but in loving subjection to the spiritual hierarchy of this solar system and the divine plan for mankind, the deliverance from bondage that has long held humanity in subjection to darkness and sorrow, unquote. Now, you can't see it, but in my article, I've bolded the part of the sentence that where he calls himself as Lord of this planet. So remember that. We'll get there in just a second. Over the years, I've read so many of these purported channelings and listened to them on videos and audios said to have come from higher beings that I could literally recite what most of them say in my sleep. They all speak of a peace that must consume the earth and will come only as society awakens to the quote-unquote light and work together to solve the problems faced. Now, the part I bolded, the Lord of this planet, the Lord of the planet here, that's not God in Christ. That's not the God of the Bible. The being is referring to Satan, who is the ruler currently of this world. John 12:31, 14:30, 16:11, and 2 Corinthians 4:4 as just a couple of examples. And Satan is also, we know, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. Now, of course, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway to make sure it's clear. Satan's rule here is only temporary until Jesus physically returns and takes control of this planet. Not only that, but Satan's rule is limited. When Jesus returns, he will set up his millennial kingdom, ruling from his father David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And I've said many times before in my writings and in my articles and in my audios, the reason Jesus will in fact return physically to this world and set up his kingdom is to signify proof of ownership. You've heard the expression, possession is 9/10 of the law. Right? Jesus will have regained ownership, not that he ever truly lost it, but he will regain ownership of this earth. He did that with the crosswork of Christ several thousand years ago, and he will ultimately come back and claim that victory. That timing is in God the Father's hands. Satan's current limited rule is allowed by God, and it's interesting to note that Satan is on a leash. He can only do so much. He can only go so far. God keeps him on a leash, and that must be absolutely galling to Satan. We know that from even before the crosswork of Christ with the book of Job. God was fully in control. Just read Job chapter 1 when Satan said this, that, and the other thing, and God said, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. And then later, okay, I'll let you do that, but you can't go any further. You cannot kill the man. God was and is in control. Now, the similarities between a good deal of the New Age gobbledygook that passes for channeled wisdom from ascended or higher beings or masters on different spiritual planes to the alleged enlightened earth person, human beings who receive these channelings here on earth are remarkable. Those similarities are remarkable. When you boil them down, all of the groups that I've already mentioned, Dominion Theology, Kingdom Now, and New Age Ascended Masters all preach, in some form or another, that it is up to us human beings to change the world. God can't do it alone. We've got to join forces with God. What I find fascinating, as well, is that within the New Age camp, much is focused on what I would describe as this ethereal love fest that is supposed to bring us all together, if we will just love people. But that means that we will accept whatever they identify as and whatever their sexual proclivities are, as well as their various religious views. If we are willing to do that, then this world will be a far, far better place. Notice, though, that if you're an authentic Christian, you're not going to be able to simply accept what the world defines as love, nor are we to embrace what the world views and wants to categorize as normal if God says it's abnormal. Now, obviously, we embrace all people, don't we? We don't push people away. We embrace them. And we bring a message of hope to them in their lost state, though that can often sound as if we're judging them, can't it? You tell somebody about sin, they're going to feel judged right away, and they're going to get mad at you for bringing that up. even though what you are telling them is truth, biblically speaking. So what these ascended masters want is a society that judges nobody. Oh, you're gay? Great. Oh, you're transgender? Fine. Oh, you like children? Oh, no problem. That's what they want. That's what they mean by loving all people. So a growing body of people who identify as Christians, I'm going to put it that way, are moving away from this biblical understanding of what it means to truly love people. And instead, they're choosing to simply embrace everyone's peculiar lifestyle, whatever they are or think they are. And because of that, the gospel is never preached to these people. How can you preach it to people when you totally accept what they stand for? You play their game and address them in their pronouns that they choose. You don't offer any criticism of what they might be doing that's harmful either to them or to someone else. You never point those things out. Okay, well, you're embracing them completely and their lifestyle. How can we do that and be obedient to God? Now, we're not, again, to judge people. We are not to condemn them. But we are to present the gospel. And the gospel will often condemn people with the truth. Unfortunately, they, the receivers of that gospel, if they don't receive it, and they reject it out of anger, will often become angry or hateful toward the messenger, the person who brings that truth to them. So those Christians who back away from that, they don't want to be seen as judgmental. Because of this, people are not being told of their need for Christ. It's not happening. The world wants to accept all things except Christians. That's what's underneath the New Age movement. Those Christians who participate in dominion theology or kingdom now thinking actually begin to do one of two things. First, they will either embrace everyone to get along in the hopes that people will see and understand that, gosh, if we work together for peace and if we love everybody, then society will be molded into a new era allowing Jesus to return. That is huge in the charismatic movement, which today is called the New Apostolic Reformation. That's huge. So that's one of the things they will do. A second thing they might do is they will become very judgmental toward those with whom they disagree politically, believing that they must fight to overcome those who stand in the way of turning this world over to Jesus. Now, for many of these folks, they believe we are certainly in a war. And that war, like the old days with Israel, must at times be fought physically. In other words, we must take to the streets in a show of force. We must resist evil, which is seen in other people, and gain the victory in the power of God so that a new day dawns on this world. In other words, Christians are to make that happen. Actually, that's not it at all. Authentic Christians must be about preaching the gospel. In word, certainly, but also in deed. There was a time when I did state that it was important to be involved in the political process by voting because we have that right in the United States. After recent elections, though, it seems abundantly clear that the vote has been hijacked and is now controlled by those on the left. For years, how many of you have thought, quote, well, I guess I'll vote again for the lesser of all the evils presented to me. Yeah, I'm going to be doing my part. I voted for Bush Jr. I voted for John McCain. I even voted for Romney, thinking my vote mattered, and I was keeping the worst candidate, hopefully, from being there and the dam from bursting. It clearly did not work because each candidate was chosen by globalists every time. Bush Jr., McCain, Romney, Obama, Clinton, they're all members of really the same party, but they define themselves by Republican or Democrat. But it really, it's all the same party. It's just two sides of the same coin. Consider that in this most recent election, just consider this, two of the worst possible candidates on the Democrat side were actually given the green light to be the Democratic challengers to Donald Trump. Yet these two people, I'm talking about Biden and Harris, were deliberately chosen by globalists to represent the Dem Party. We all laughed. We thought, what are they thinking? Trump's second term is a shoo-in. But that didn't happen because the voter fraud was real. And it was in our faces. People in Europe know that the voter fraud was real. Biden and Harris were given the victory and recently installed into office on the 20th of January. Why? Because globalists showed us who is in charge. And it's not us. It's them. Anyone who complains about voter fraud is censored and silenced, accused of being an insurrectionist. But God himself actually is allowing these globalists to do their father Satan's bidding. Because Satan is being allowed to put the final touches on his final kingdom, Daniel 2, as he brings it to the fore. Now from everything I can see, from my vantage point, it appears that we are at the cusp right now. And I think over the next months and possibly a few years, if it lasts that long, all things will come together for that one world government to officially take its place in future history as God has outlined in the distant past through his real prophets. That's what's happening, it seems to me. God's word is actually being played out in front of us. Did we actually think that Satan's kingdom was going to incrementally happen so slowly that we wouldn't notice? Now is not the time to shrink from our responsibilities to God. We must not fade into the background. In fact, we must be resolute in our faith and encouraged to preach the gospel in word and deed. I'm not talking about political involvement. I'm not talking about getting even more involved politically. I'm talking about getting more involved with the presentation of the gospel. Persecution is coming. The Bible has said it. The world hates us because it hates God. Matthew 10:22. 24:9, John 15:18 and 21, and read James 4:4. The world hates us because it hates God. Own that. Embrace it. Understand that this is what we rejoice in. I'm going to deal a bit more with the Ashtar command next week. And until then, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. So until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.